Hi, I'm Haley.
And I'm Miranda.
And welcome to the OC, bitch. We're the Newport Beach Babes, and we're here to talk to you about episode 4 of season 1 of the OC.
Ooh. The Hulu synopsis for the debut. Ryan becomes a member of the Coen family when Kirsten and Sandy take full legal responsibility for him.
And that's it.
And that's what we have to work with.
I am loving these one-sentence Hulu synopses.
They're so concise.
They're so concise, but they're honestly, like, not accurate.
No.
Like, I mean, it that is exactly what happens.
That is the baseline of what happens in the first 2 minutes.
The first 2 minutes, yeah. Kirsten walks in this white power suit.
Mm.
She looks.
Wait, do you want to rethink that?
Oh, God. In this cream power suit.
Yep.
It is a power suit that is the color white. I'm going to edit all this out.
No, please don't. Please don't.
Never. Oh, God. Kirsten would never.
Oh, no.
A cream power suit. She comes
Indeed.
In looking super fly.
Just fierce.
She always does.
While the fellas are playing video games and eating garbage.
Which I love. It. I love. And they basically say, we are going to assume full responsibility for you, full legal responsibility, in order to be your guardian. And Ryan, being the sweetest teenage angel, is like, I couldn't ask you guys to do that. And Kirsten and Sandy say, no, we're asking you.
Which my heart
melted my, like, 2 minutes into this episode, I was like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I love them so much.
They're so good.
They're the best.
Can they be my parents, please?
He's such a good kid, and I love that.
And he asks, like, when they're like, we're asking you, and he says, what if something happens? And then they're like, what? Like, what, you steal a car? You burn down a house? You beat up the captain of the water polo team?
Right.
It's fine.
Like, he's done all of that already, so, like, what else could possibly go wrong?
Only time will tell.
Time will tell. So basically, yeah, he's a Coen now.
Yeah.
Welcome to a life of insecurity and paralyzing self-doubt. You know what? I might be a Coen if that's all it takes.
I am an adopted Coen. That is what it takes.
100%.
Yeah.
So basically, he's a Coen now. He's a legal, I mean, he's going to keep his name, Ryan Atwood.
Mm-hmm.
That he legally is their
child?
Their child, I guess, yeah. Which is great. So he gets to stay in Newport. He's going to go to the biggest event of the year.
Yes, until whatever happens next week.
Until whatever happens next week. And that event
is the debutante ball.
The debutante ball.
The cotillion.
The cotillion.
I don't know.
This is a very weird event to me. Like,
Same.
I know people in Nashville, where I lived for a little while, who did the cotillion. Like, it's still a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, rich people still do this. Mm-hmm. But why?
It's gross, but it's like a mating ritual type thing.
Right.
Like, to keep money marrying money is the only thing that I could think
of. It's like literally like, I feel like it's a debut of like, you're debuting into society so that men know that you're eligible to, because they do it. I mean, it happens kind of on Downton a little bit. Like, when Rose has her like court, she like gets presented to court or whatever, and that's like her debut into society.
Yeah.
I would love to do a Downton Abbey podcast, by the way. But it is such a weird old-timey, like old-fashioned, old money sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's strange that I know people who have legit done it.
Because,
like, I have a few friends in Nashville who are old money Nashville, and they had deb balls. And it's so weird. It's just such a weird concept. And if you are a listener and you did a deb ball, or you know, did cotillion, please contact us, because I just want to know, like, why?
Yeah. I imagine.
Tradition, I guess, at this point. It's just tradition. Like,
yeah, it has to be. It's gross. I get it. It's gross.
It's gross.
That's all I have.
I mean, like, I mean, but it's the biggest event of the year in Newport Beach.
I guess.
So anyway, so Kirsten brings the boys to the club.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're going to be presented as white knights. Marissa is lead deb because, of course, she is, or head deb, or whatever it's called.
I think it's lead.
She's always head of something. She's the most popular girl in Newport.
Oh, my God. She's like the social chair.
She's the social chair.
But she sees Ryan for the first time since the gamble? I was going to say since the house fire, but since the gamble.
Since the gamble. Since yeah, 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 yeah.
She thought he was leaving.
She thought her. He was leaving with the mom, and obviously that did not happen.
They see each other.
They see each other, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to be staying here forever now, essentially.
Enter Luke being a bro and just being like, what are you still doing
what
here?
Still
and
doing
like puts his arm around Marissa with his puka shell necklace
He's
on.
So fucking possessive.
Again.
I like Luke later.
Same.
But these first few episodes, like, he is an interesting character to me. I like him in that sense. He's, like, interesting. But, like, I fucking hate him at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's so of his time. Like, that stereotypical, like, 2003 bro-y bro.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Summer is so fucking hot for Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
In first few episodes. Because, Kirsten's like, these are some white knights, you know. And a white knight essentially is, like, if a girl doesn't have a date, they'll take Seth or Ryan or whomever.
Mm-hmm.
And
Seth Cohen, white knight.
And Summer just really, really wants to be paired with Ryan.
Yeah.
She's fucking
She's still very hot.
And Ryan.
Marissa's like, you want me to fix you up with Ryan? I thought you said he was a total psycho. She's like, he's wounded. I can save him.
Oh, my God. No, you can't, girl.
Which is how I felt for a long time about people.
Yeah. A word of advice from the Newport Beach babes. You can't save
them. You can't save them.
And
just
it's not
stop.
On you to do it.
Nope. Absolutely
it
not.
It absolutely is not. You just
no.
is not.
Nope.
But Summer is also, like, 16 years old here. So,
True
you know,
yeah.
she just thinks he's hot. And he is. He's fucking hot.
He is.
But this is the first time that she asks Marissa, like, are you into him? Because Marissa's being, like, very, like, not defensive, but being kind of like, you don't want to be with him.
Right.
You don't
she wants to have her cake and eat it, too, because she has a boyfriend.
She has a boyfriend,
she
kind
clearly
of, I guess.
Wants Ryan.
Still, at this point, they're still together.
Yeah.
But she clearly wants to go with Ryan. Yeah. I would want to go with Ryan, too, over Luke.
Yeah.
Not that Chris Carmack's not a good-looking guy. He's very handsome. But, like, Ryan is, like, he's got that something.
Yeah.
He's got that something.
That something, something. Yes. So
that's happening. And whilst this is going on, Sandy's at work.
Yep.
And
SEC guy.
Yes, I was going to say the big government man comes into his office and is like, "Hey, did you know that your wife gave Jimmy Cooper $100,000 and it wasn't an investment; it was just a loan?" And Sandy's like, "Yeah, it's fine. Like, they're friends." And the government guy's like, "Nah, man, he's under investigation for fraud."
And Sandy's face is like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah, this is the first time that we find out that Jimmy.
Yeah.
Like, exactly what he's been doing.
That it's really bad. And then cut to Sandy day drinking in his kitchen with a comedy callback from the beginning where Seth's like, if this is about the vase?
Oh, yeah.
Earlier when they were talking about adopting Ryan, he was like, if this is about the rug,
this is about the rug? Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, great.
I love a good bit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we love a good bit?
And Kirsten's hair is getting better, but that weird, like, robe shirt that she's wearing is atrocious. It's like a...
The outfits...
Mm.
In this episode are insane.
Yeah.
So Ryan is deciding while Sandy and Kirsten are talking about Jimmy, Ryan is deciding whether or not he wants to go to Cotillion because he thinks that it's a bad idea because of Luke and Ryan's always unwillingly causing problems in Newport since he's been here.
And earlier when they were deciding to adopt him or take legal responsibility for him, he's like, staying out of trouble, that could be difficult, like, because that's what they want him to do.
Exactly. And he's always getting in trouble. It's not his fault.
His hand is just magnetized to Luke's face.
Exactly.
At all
times. It just happens. I mean, also, Luke is a fucking asshole.
True.
But, so he's like, I'm not going to go.
Yeah, and except that you are.
except that you are. He goes over to Marissa's and is going to just talk to her.
Yeah.
Because we don't text yet. It's 2003.
No, we don't. We don't even MySpace yet, really.
And of course, she's wearing the Cotillion dress.
Yes.
She looks fucking amazing in this
scene. She does.
She opens up, she's so tan, and she's just like, she's like this beach goddess, essentially. Like, her hair is like perfectly wavy and like...
Even in a ponytail, it looks like really
she's
good.
Yeah, she's like just trying it on, just to try it on, and she needs help with the back strap.
It's so sexually charged.
And again, these are people who are of age, but like it's pretty, it's hot.
It's great, and there's a really good song that's playing in the background that I liked.
It is Lazy Day by Leona Ness.
Nice.
That's what I made sure to write that down because cool. I liked it too. And he's like sitting there, like
ordering Chinese. Love it.
I love it. So while that's happening, Ryan decides he's like, yeah, I need to talk to you about Cotillion. She's like, what did you need to know? And he's like, what time do I need to be there? Because she's so beautiful.
He's defenseless.
He's defenseless against her.
Girl, you got me.
Little A-ham ref. That's happening, and Sandy and Kirsten are having a little chat in the kitchen.
A quickie, huh?
Where Sandy is telling her, basically, hey, Jimmy is, this is what's going on, and Kirsten is very defensive of Jimmy, and she's like, he needs our help, and he's my oldest friend, is what she says to Sandy.
Because
Sandy's gonna like call everyone in Newport basically and be like, hey, this is what's happening, like Jimmy Cooper is doing this, blah blah blah. And Kirsten's like, no, let me talk to him.
She's so stressed.
So she does. She goes over to the Cooper house. And Jimmy finally tells her, like, yes, like, I've been stealing, and...
But he does not say that he's stealing. He refuses to admit that, and that's a big point of contention.
In layman's terms, he's being a little shit.
Yes.
And he's just weaseling his way out of telling Kirsten exactly what's happening.
Well, and before Julie leaves them alone, like, they're having a conversation, Julie and Jimmy, and Kirsten's eyes are just, like, back and forth, like it's a tennis match, when he's talking about, like, all of the bullshit that Julie needs. So, like, Caitlin needs new shoes for Cotillion that are probably, like, $1,000.
And then sure they are.
We're going to test drive a CLK, and then we need to re-up tennis lessons and blah, blah, blah. And just, like, all of this... mundane, like unnecessary
rich people things
he didn't steal for, apparently, because he said, I was not stealing, I was borrowing. He sounds like a child.
He's a little shit.
I literally wrote in all caps, go fuck yourself, Jimmy, you man child.
Yeah, he's a man child.
God.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, he's quote-unquote
borrowing
from his clients.
Do we know how much it is yet, or is that later?
It's later.
Yeah. He's borrowing a lot of money.
Meanwhile, back at the club.
Meanwhile, Ryan and Seth
are getting some dancing lessons.
They look so attractive.
Really?
Walking into those lessons?
I think Ryan looks really good.
You don't like Seth?
I don't like Seth's outfit. Seth is wearing
both.
Like a corduroy khaki colored blazer and like a blue button up. A blue shirt over it. I mean, he looks fine. For 2003,
for him, I think it was very charming.
Nice. Yeah, and Ryan is wearing like a black shirt with a black blazer.
Yeah.
And like is he wearing a choker at this point? Probably.
He did earlier in the episode. I wrote that he was rocking the leather piece on his neck and his cuff.
I love that choker.
It's still around.
They're back at the club because part of a cotillion, or the dead ball, is... dancing. And Ryan is like, what?
He doesn't even like music.
He doesn't even like music. He doesn't dance. That's part of it. And as White Knights, they get assigned whom they will be dancing with, or who they will be escorting. And
some sad, pathetic, lonely girls.
Some sad, pathetic, lonely girl that happens to be Summer.
Yep.
Who gets put with Seth because Ryan gets put with Anna!
Who has the best first line ever.
I love Anna so much.
She's so great.
And the first line is...
Well, so Summer says, who's pathetic enough not to have a date the day before Cotillion? Anna walks up, smooth as fuck. Mm-hmm. She goes, actually, at this point, that would be you.
Yep.
I said, fuck yeah, Anna. Way to make an entrance.
I love Anna more and more every time I rewatch The OC.
She's
like,
great.
As a teen, I liked her. Like, I thought she was fun. But I always was like, oh, she's in the way.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
She's an obstacle.
But now that I'm looking back, I'm like, I am more like Anna than I think I am.
Well, because Anna is the female Seth Cohen, and you have said that you are Seth Cohen.
I am basically the female Seth Cohen, yeah. I think if I was going to pick a character on the OC, I would definitely be Anna.
Yeah.
100%.
Fair.
But yeah, so she gets put with Ryan because they're both from out of town. They're both new.
Yeah, she's from Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. I've never been to Pittsburgh.
Totally.
I don't know.
I'm sure Pittsburgh's great.
I'm sure it's a nice
place. Isn't that what from... Oh, my Lord. This Is Us was Pittsburgh, yeah?
Oh, I don't know. I think so.
But gasp.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I wrote down that the outfits in this scene are out of this world. They are so 2003. Anna has so many layers on that I don't even know where to begin. She's at this super cute pixie cut, which I love.
Mm-hmm. Same.
She's got like a white jacket with like a black shirt and like a.
There's like a checkered thing. I don't know if that's part of the jacket or something.
I don't know. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And Marissa's wearing like, what is she wearing? Like a.
Oh, she was wearing like a. I feel like this was a polo, but I don't know if this
like,
is a polo.
She likes wearing those polos with the...
Like a skirt. And, it's like a longer skirt.
Yeah,
I think, this time
and
again.
Then Summer's wearing a short skirt and a tiny little top and like 7-inch wedges.
I made a comment about her wedges at some point where I was like, how constantly are they like putting her in these giant shoes? Because she's 5'2 and Marissa is 5'9.
She's so tiny.
And so they just have to compensate.
See, one of my best friends, Bria, she's 4'9 and I'm 5'7. Yikes. So it's like, I get it.
Yeah.
I understand. And when I wear heels, like if we go to like a concert, like we went to our friend's wedding this past summer and like I was towering over her and she was wearing like 6-inch heels even, but I was still like, you know,
for
I
sure.
get it. So yeah, basically Ryan is having trouble learning the dance because Ryan doesn't dance because he doesn't like
get
really
it. Don't dance.
Yeah. So Marissa as head deb is like helping him and then finally she's like, no, like I'll just show you. I'll just show
goodness.
You. So she steps in and she's like, put your hand on my back.
And then he just puts it on.
and she's like, no. Lower. Yeah. And like, so it's like the super slow, like lower. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, like they're very into it. Mm-hmm. And there's like this little moment. And then all of a sudden, Luke comes in and is mm-hmm. like, yeah, I should be jealous of this if Chino wasn't gay.
Yep. I literally put, oh, look, another gay joke.
There's so many fucking gay jokes. And I think, I obviously know it's supposed
to be.
They
have to amp it up for reasons.
It's 2003, and everybody was saying, like, that's gay and that's mm-hmm. stupid shit. And also, like, it's
reasons.
Because Luke is
yep.
awful, but also because of reasons later. But I think it's to show like how stupid yeah. Luke is
oh,
at this point.
How basic
how
he is.
Basic he is. Yeah. Like that's the only thing
he's
he can
a basic
think
bully.
Of. He literally just says like queer and gay like mm-hmm. all the time to like make fun of people. He can't think of anything else yep. at this point.
His vocabulary is very limited at this point.
So that's happening mm-hmm. and I really like this bit with Anna and Ryan mm-hmm. where so Marissa leaves and Anna's like, oh, you're into her, right? Like, Anna knows immediately,
yeah.
which I love. And she's like, wait, are you the kid that, like, steals cars and all
yes.
this? And he's like, yes. And she's like, I have to make my debut into Newport Society with this kid. I love it.
Like, yeah, and he's like, oh, is that going to be a problem? And she's like, no, I can't wait.
I love that bit.
It's a great
moment.
I love
that scene so much. I actually, mm-hmm. like... I talked about this later. I'm kind of into Anna and Ryan. I know that's like a weird pairing, mm-hmm. but I kind of always thought that that would be interesting. Even though it's the first time watching this, I was like a 13-year-old. I was kind of like, they have interesting chemistry. And like, mm-hmm. I think it's similar to, spoiler, to Taylor and him because they're so
yeah.
opposite.
Yep.
That I think that that's kind of something he needs. He needs somebody that's a little bit like, a little bit more crackly, a little bit more like, mm-hmm. a little bit more of a spitfire, I guess, that
yeah.
kind of keeps him on his toes just because he's so, not stagnant, but like.
Yeah, just
that's
like.
The word I'm looking for. Like.
Yeah, he's in his, I don't even want to call it a rut, but he's like very in his ways.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do much besides like punching people and making out with people.
At this point, no, yeah. It's like he doesn't really, yeah.
Someone to engage that like. Intellectual part
yeah,
of him
because
he's
there.
He showed us that he's very smart.
Yeah, and it happens with Seth, I think. Like he and mm-hmm. Seth are so close because they kind of fill something that each one of them needs.
Yeah. And as the lady Seth, Anna could do that for him.
Yeah, exactly. I think there that would have been a really interesting route.
Yeah.
But
I wonder if there's fanfic on this.
Oh.
I should delve deep into this.
I am gonna look that up.
Yes.
Because even later in the episode, like she said, it's just they have a cute relationship.
Like
and
a nice rapport.
I like it. And yeah. I think if the show was on now, 15 years later, that might have been a route that they would have gone down.
Yeah. So I feel like we do a little bit less of, like, damsels in distress.
Yeah.
Like, even if you think, like, Jon Snow and, like, Ygritte are, like, really great because...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's, like, it's a similar...
They're equals.
They fill each other. Whereas, like, I'm not as into, like, him and... Spoilers, Daenerys. Ugh. It's not a spoiler. That was like
his
a year
aunt.
Ago. His aunt. There's a Lonely Island song called I Fucked My Aunt, and I listened to it the other day, and
I made
me think of it.
This is a Game of Thrones podcast.
This is the Game of Thrones podcast.
This is the Night
the
Watch.
The Dorne Beach Babes.
Welcome to the Night Watch, bitch.
Welcome to the Night Watch, bitch.
Yes.
Anyway.
So then we have a Sandy Kirsten argument about
yes.
Jimmy versus like the types of clients that
yes.
Sandy typically represents.
This is a really interesting bit because...
I like it a lot.
Of course, Kirsten wants to help Jimmy because, again,
right,
he's my oldest friend.
Yeah.
But
slash, you probably lost it to him for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
If they were the first kiss, like, that was
Oh, definitely, 100%.
She got that bond.
So they have a bond, but, you know, like, they didn't work out for whatever reasons. You know, she went to Berkeley and she met
the perfect human,
the perfect man. So she basically is asking him to help
Jimmy.
To help Jimmy because Jimmy's obviously going to get into trouble and is in trouble, and it will only get worse.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, you represent all of these
low-life drug dealers and stuff, and you won't help Jimmy.
And it's kind of incredible because Sandy's like, yeah, these are kids that don't have anywhere to go and they don't know what to do and they have no other option.
Yeah.
Whereas Jimmy is just a spoiled kid, essentially. Who?
Do you want me to pull it up?
Yeah, I think this is a great clip. Okay. Yeah.
He was trying to provide for his family.
Yeah, boats, ponies.
So you'll defend a two-time drug offender, but you won't defend...
Yes. My clients are kids who have no hope, no guidance, nothing. Jimmy Cooper is just another spoiled Newport brat who had everything handed to him.
Like me?
No, not like you. You would never lie. You would never steal.
I would like to think that, but the truth is, there isn't anything that I wouldn't do for my family. I'll see you at home.
Anyway, yeah. I just think it's great that he's like, no, he's a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And like... buying ponies and stuff is very different than like being born into poverty.
Exactly.
And being a child who has like no other resources or options.
They feel like they have no other option.
You're not stealing millions of dollars from people.
Exactly.
Ugh,
just to buy more ponies. And...
Right. And literally, I was rewatching that episode today. I think it was the pilot.
It's the pilot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was rewatching it with a friend who I got into the show.
Yeah.
And within 2 seconds of buying the pony, she comes back and she's like, China has alopecia. Like, you didn't vet this, like, pony. Yeah. Like, they're just wasting money.
Money means nothing
they're
to them.
They're so irresponsible.
It's
So he deserves it. Fun fact. Jimmy sucks.
Jimmy sucks. The title of this episode is
Jimmy's the worst.
So, after dancing lessons, they dance for like 3 hours, apparently. Oh, Holly comes up and is talking to Marissa and Ryan and Seth and basically is like, I'm having a party because she always has a party. It's always Holly's beach house, which if I had a beach house and it was summer and we weren't in school and my parents didn't give a shit, then I would be having parties every night too.
Absolutely.
This is something she does every year. They're going to have a party at her beach house and they're invited.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan doesn't really want to go, but Seth is like, please go because obviously summer's going to be there. So, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's a restaurant in town and Holly is picking up food for this party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because her dad clearly is going to be paying for the food for the party.
Yeah.
They run into Jimmy, who is also picking up food, I guess, for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And Holly's dad is like, hey,
I'm trying to get a hold of you.
Trying to get a hold of you, man. I've been calling you a lot. I'm trying to get money out of one account into another account so that I can invest in this real estate property.
Mm-hmm.
This is very like layman's terms, but and Jimmy's like, yeah, I can't get it to you right now, but I will. Like, we'll talk about it later. Like, he's very avoiding.
I literally in all caps wrote, avoiding the problem never makes it go away. Mm-mm. Stop.
Mm-mm. He just keeps being like, later. And he's like, great, we'll talk about it at the cotillion. Mm. That's what Holly's dad says.
Yeah.
And Holly comes in. She's like, Dad, I'm going to be late for my own party. She's wearing a ridiculous outfit here, too.
Yes.
Like, the shortest blue shorts you've ever seen. And, like, this horrible plaid, like, top. And her hair is just, like, it's just, God, the
it's
early 2000s.
Jimmy's card gets declined at that ancient cash register.
Yes. Well,
she's like, I'm sorry, your credit card has been declined.
Right. Which he, like, covers up. He's like, oh, it's a new card.
I
forgot to activate it. Yeah. I'll pay in cash. Mm. And Holly and her dad leave. Mm. Cut to the party.
Yeah.
We're at the party at the beach house. Holly is grilling in a bikini.
That's dangerous.
I got irrationally upset about this because I get like for aesthetic wise for like to you know to show like oh like they're all just like sexy teens there's like just sitting there grilling in a bikini that is so fucking dangerous
and
dumb
yeah
it's just dumb
yeah it's not good
It's
that's funny that that's the thing that you noticed. I didn't even pay attention, but that's amazing.
I don't know why. That's the first thing I noticed. I was just like, Holly, what are you doing?
What is wrong with you? I was focused on Summer bartering for a different escort. She's like, I will give you 2 tickets to Jack Johnson and like this and this and all the money and I have in my wallet, which is $11.
Awful. She's so awful.
She's trying really hard to not go with Seth.
This is like, she's still so bad at this point. And I know the next episode is when I really start to love Summer, but she's such a little bitch.
Yeah.
I hate
She's not great her, at the like, moment.
She's not great. She's trying to barter Seth off. Seth and Ryan come to the party. Mm-hmm. Marissa.
Her outfit? I'm into it. You're not?
It's not that I'm not into it. So Ryan, Seth is going to go and try to find Summer, Avi. Seth is doing that. Ryan is sitting down on the couch. Right. Just not talking to anybody because he doesn't have any friends.
Yep.
And Marissa's in the kitchen with her, like, crew. Mm-hmm. And she sees him from across the party, and she's kind of like, hey, like, come over here. And he's like, no.
Yeah.
And so she goes over to him just to chat. Mm-hmm. She is wearing this, like, pink, blue, orange, like, striped tube top and, like, a matching skirt.
I think it's shorts. I think it's like a tube top romper almost thing. It's something.
It is the most 2000. If I saw that outfit in 2003, I would have begged my mom to go.
Yeah.
I know we talk a lot about the fashion on this show, but it is a big element. And she has this nude lip gloss on that is just I'm not a lip gloss person. I don't like lip gloss on anyone. I just imagine how sticky it must be. You know what I mean?
It's like melting lips.
It's just like, it's so awful. But anyway, she's talking to him. They're just chatting. I don't even remember what about. Nothing, really.
Like, I thought you were leaving, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, so, just
some
something.
Bullshit. And then Luke comes up as he does.
Luke comes up as he does and is trying to get them to stop. And because obviously he's very threatened by sexy Ryan.
Of course.
And he literally is like, why don't you go talk to Summer over there? She seems pretty lonely. And like, he's so fucking misogynistic in these first few episodes and homophobic and like just so, we talked about this earlier, so 2003. But I really appreciate when Ryan is like, she can do what she wants.
Absolutely.
This is not the first time he's done that either. He's very like, hey, like,
she's a person.
She's a person. Like, treat her like a fucking person.
Absolutely.
And I really appreciate that about Ryan's character is that he's very defensive of women, but not in a chivalrous way. Yeah, exactly. Like,
he's being a good ally, not like a rescuer person.
And I know this is like us, like 2018, like getting really deep into this, but like, I appreciate that he isn't like, hey, like, I'm talking to her, man. It's like, no, like, she's talking, like, she can do what she wants.
And she stood up for herself as well when he's like, oh, like, Summer looks pretty lonely, blah, 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 go talk to her. She's like, or you can go talk to her, and I'll stay here and talk to Ryan.
Because that's what I'm
going to
do.
And then he was like, you can't, blah, and then that's when Ryan, like, jumps in, but whatever.
Basically, they jump in, and they get in a little tete-a-tete. They don't, well,
Ryan won't fight him. He's like, I'm not
going to
fight
Ryan won't fight him, so Luke punches him in the stomach.
And then Seth's like, dude, you really are going because you just got your ass kicked.
Yeah. So that's Holly's party. We are, and Marissa is obviously very upset. So she storms away. And Luke is like, oh, Marissa, and like follows her like a little puppy dog, like away.
Totally.
Because, of course, like he fucked up and he's continually fucking up. And he keeps doing it.
Yep. We're going to peek on Luke fuck ups pretty soon.
We sure are.
In a couple eppies.
So we're the next day. We're in Marissa's room. I didn't skip anything today.
I just said that I have like a string of people who aren't going to Cotillion, so I just put Ryan isn't going to Cotillion. And then, yes, then we're in Marissa's room.
So we're Ryan's not going to go to Cotillion. We're in Marissa's room now.
Julie Cooper.
Yes. I love Marissa's room.
I do like it.
I still like covet this room to this day. Like, I painted one of my rooms this color. Because I loved her room. So I love that pink. It's just like
it's
a nice warm pink. She's got just like a walk-in closet. She's got this giant fucking room, of course, because she's, you know, mega rich.
And we're living outside of their means.
Well, they definitely are doing that.
That also.
So Julie comes in and she's having a little chat because Marissa's in this gorgeous like blue embroidered robe that I loved. And she's just kind of, she doesn't want to go to Cotillion anymore because things with Luke are weird, especially after what happened last night. And Julie comes in and is talking
needing to borrow some lip gloss.
I need to borrow your lip gloss, honey.
Ugh, gross.
Like, oh, God. So much. 2003 was such a, like, lip gloss era. Yeah. I feel like I can taste my MAC lip gloss that I used to wear to school. Like,
yep.
It's so sticky. Yeah. And but anyway, so she
totally
she no, comes I mean, in. Yeah. She's asking to borrow the lip gloss, and then starts talking about Marissa's dress. Mm-hmm. She's a size zero.
She's like, we both know I'm no longer a size zero.
What are you, a four?
Like, give me a few more
so
months
tiny.
On the zone.
The zone.
And I was like, oh yeah, that all was right. a thing. Gross. Yeah, Julia is tiny, but she's not like Marissa tiny.
Yeah, Marissa's tiny, but you know, yeah. she's a model essentially.
Right. And then we get the first edition of Terrible Advice with Julie Cooper, because mm-hmm. she's the worst advice giver I've ever heard.
Just heard you say you don't want to go to your own cotillion.
Look, Luke and I got in a fight last night, okay?
I thought you got into a fight. You've had fights before. You guys have been together forever.
Maybe that's the problem. I mean, what if there's someone else out there?
Like who? That boy from Chino? Do you want to end up like your Aunt Cindy with four kids in a trailer park? She broke my mother's heart. I will not let you break mine.
Oh, so now this is about you?
No, sweetie, it's about you. What kind of future do you think you could have with that boy?
Mom, I'm 16.
And the choices you make when you're 16 can affect your entire future. Marissa, Ugh. Luke comes from a good family. If you stay with him, you will always be comfortable.
I'm comfortable now.
Nothing in life is certain.
What does that mean?
It means that you'll put on this dress, do your hair the way I showed you, and make your debut into Newport society with Luke.
I can't. I'm sorry.
No, you're not. But you will be.
So gross. I literally rage shake that whole time because Luke comes from a good family. You'll always be taken care of. I'm sorry. Did Jimmy not come from a good family? Mm-hmm. Were you always taken care of? Mm-hmm. You dumb, dumb woman.
And again, she's 16.
Yes.
She's not marrying anyone right now. She's 16 years old. It's such a weird. But then again, didn't Julie get knocked up at 18 or something? Don't they talk about that later? That she was super young
was
when
she had
young? Miranda. I mean, Miranda. That's your name.
She had me.
Bloop.
Oh, jeeps.
Wasn't she? She was super young when she had Marissa, I thought.
It's confusing to me, though, because Marissa and Seth are the same age. So if.
That's true.
Unless
but
she got knocked
anything,
up and then, like,
though.
Had
I mean,
an
Jimmy,
abortion or something later.
No, but. I'm thinking she didn't. I don't even remember how they met. Did they talk about how she and Jimmy meet?
Not yet. Because
he
would have
been.
But.
So, like, let's say he went to school 24. Or like 23 when he graduated. Like was
Kirsten and Sandy met at 22, which
at
is
22.
A conversation that happens later. That's real funny.
Yeah, I love it.
And awkward.
And so so I don't know. This is some OC lore that I can look into. But I vaguely remember them saying that Julie was super young. Because I feel like they met and then this was after maybe Kirsten and Sandy had gotten married. I don't know.
There's a quote in the next episode about you know, who knew that when he knocked me up, it'd be the best thing that ever happened to you?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that just means that, like, the hope that he could ever steal her away from Sandy has now died.
And so then he got with
Julie
and he knocked her
up. So I imagine that a lot of that coincides together, that, like, Kirsten found someone better. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Jimmy was, like, probably being a big whore. Yeah. And then, you know, probably knocked it.
This is a conversation we can have in the next episode.
This is a side chat.
Yeah.
But yeah, terrible advice of Julie.
Terrible
Cooper.
Advice.
Luke comes from a good family. Yeah. Ugh, gross.
I hate that you're not, but you will.
No,
be.
No, you're
what
not,
a
but you will
fucking
be.
Fucking
like,
villain.
Glimmer
line.
Of evil. Evil Julie Cooper popping out.
So, I have a question.
Yeah.
What does Jimmy do?
Jimmy?
What the fuck is
He's
his
like
job?
He's like a financial planner.
I never knew
I
what
guess.
That meant.
I think he, it seems like he's an investor, like an investment
he
banker.
He, like, helps people
and
plan
so,
their investments, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that
I would never let anybody have control of my money like that, like, to be able to get into somebody's bank account, but I guess I'm not
a
rich.
A lot of people do.
I have, like, I don't know, $20 right now, so, like.
Well, what he's doing is illegal, so it's not
yeah,
like
course,
people regularly do that.
But, I mean, Holly's dad asks for that check of his own money, so I'm kind of interested, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird and it sucks, but like typically it's something that like you're not just taking your client's money. Like
right.
in theory,
well,
you have your own money.
Yeah,
but whatever. Side
so
note:
anyway.
Sandy's also not going. Yay for the not
yeah,
going.
Yeah, so
crew.
Sandy's also not going to go to Cotillion. He's like, fuck this.
Yep. Kirsten's dress is
Kirsten
stunning.
Looks fucking hot. again.
She's great.
She is drop dead gorgeous. Ugh. She comes out in this like black halter top, very like slinky, like a, it's kind of like a, I don't even know.
It goes like around the neck, like chokery style, yeah, but then like has it's like
gorgeous.
The little.
It's gorgeous. It's even for like 2003, like it's mm-hmm. gorgeous now. Mm-hmm. She comes out and she's like, "Why aren't you coming?" And he's like, "I'm just not gonna go." And yeah. and Ryan's not going either. And she's like, "Well, is nobody fucking going?" And Seth is like, "I've been ready like 20 minutes ago." So
I don't want to leave
because he's very stoked because yeah. he is Summer's date at this point.
Cut to Jimmy also not going.
Jimmy is also not going. Nobody's fucking going to Cotillion.
Yeah.
Ryan and Sandy are playing video games. They're playing the Samurai video game, video game that they probably got rights to the show, which I love.
It's
I
so
love
cute.
This like Samurai video game that they play.
Ryan's like, "I'm just not going to go. It's not me." And Sandy says, "Waltzing in orchids? What could be more you?" Amazing.
Meanwhile, Summer is at the club. She's calling Marissa and is like, "What the fuck? You have to come. What's going on?"
Yeah.
Julie's there and Luke is there as well, and Summer is just like very she's really trying to get Marissa to go, but Marissa's very like rigid and is not having it. And then Luke's like, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" And Summer's like, "Well."
Side note, Summer's hair is great.
Summer looks really, really, really beautiful in this scene.
The side part curls,
yeah,
with the little white
flower. She looks gorgeous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Seth had to tell Anna that Ryan's not coming.
Right.
And he's like, "Oh, she's actually really cute."
She, like, yeah. It's basically, she takes it like in a very like sardonic, sort of acidic way.
Yeah,
like,
she's
like,
whatever.
Like, she doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like, Anna's fucking, I love Anna
right.
so much.
And then she and Seth are just like gabbing about comics when Summer comes over and is like, "You're off the hook."
Right. Congratulations, you're off the hook. I want to talk about, just real quick before we talk about that scene, is that so they're chatting about comics and he says, "Oh, sweet, sweet Seth." I wrote it down. Oh my god, oh my god. "Comics, but you're like a girl."
Mm.
I was like, "God damn it." You know how many fucking times I've heard that? Like, when I was in college and I would go to the comic store, like, all the dudes would just, like, look at me like, "Need help?"
Right.
"Your boyfriend
are you lost?
Here? You lost?" It's like, no, we read comics too. And I thought it was so cool. Even, like, back when I was a kid. I wasn't a kid when I watched this. I was a teenager.
Yeah.
When I was a teen and watching this, I was like, "Oh, Anna's so cool because I do that too."
Oh.
I love Anna. I love Anna so much.
You are Anna.
Basically. So Summer basically is like, "Hey, like, you're off the hook. Like, congrats. Like, great. I'm going to go with Luke." And he gets, like, super sad and just, like, leaves. Anna, like, walks away.
She, like, empathizes. Like, she's a little empathy face going on.
Yeah.
Like, oh, poor guy.
Marissa comes over to the Cohen household in this shirt. This red halter top that just leaves nothing to be desired.
Mm-hmm. Like a very pokey boob situation happening.
Mm-hmm. She looks great, though. She looks gorgeous. She comes over.
It would be difficult for her not to look good.
And basically is like, "Oh, I guess you're not going."
Right.
"Well, maybe we should go. Like, if you're not going, like,
right.
I'll go if you go," essentially. So they go into the living room and Sandy's, like, still playing that video game, like, by himself. Love this bit.
"Ryan, come check this out. I've totally annihilated all the other ninjas."
That was a great Sandy. And he's like, "Hey, like, we're going to go to Cotillion." And
he gives
this little, like, eye tilt towards Marissa. And Sandy picks up on it so quick and is like, "Oh,
I'll get the car.
I love it.
Sandy
I love
Cohen,
Sandy so much.
Wingman extraordinaire.
He's such a good.
Great job.
He's such a good dad. It is his kid at this point. Anyway.
Right?
Aw.
Yay.
So they go. We're back at the club.
Yeah. And Luke's hair looks atrocious
to
me.
So slicked.
It's
like
combed back like a fucking hedgehog.
It is garbage.
He's like a hedgehog monkey combo. There's later when I'm like, he looks a lot like a monkey.
So Luke is basically like, you told me you weren't even gonna come, and then now you walk in here with him. Ryan, I don't know if you wanna pull this.
Did you just call me Ryan?
Yes. Ryan, I don't know if you wanna pull this clip up. But
they
come back to the club because they're gonna do Cotillion. They came together. And Luke says, you know, you weren't even going to come and you're here with him.
Mm.
And I like this clip because I think this is another instance of feminist Ryan Atwood.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So we can.
He's good. I'm going to hope that.
Look at this halter top. Oh my God.
He looks so good looking at
her. He looks really hot.
You told Summer you weren't coming. Now you're here with him? No, Ryan and I aren't here together.
Oh, no. I'm not an idiot.
Then listen to her and stop acting like one.
What'd you say?
Forget it.
No. What'd you say? Come on, man. Tell me what you said. What?
Stop it.
I'm over this. We're done.
Because apparently women are property that you can just drop and say,
we're
done.
That's the second time in one episode that Ryan's had to be like, listen to her.
Yes.
Yeah. It's awful. Ugh.
Gross.
So he goes up to Anna and is like, hey, I'm here if you need a date. And she's like, no. Go be with your, I don't know, what she said. What does she say?
Oh, I don't remember what she says to him, but she's like, oh, now you want me?
Yeah,
like,
she's basically like, oh, like, now you're like, and no,
and
go.
This is great.
And then he gives her like a little smirk, and that's when I was kind of like, I'm into them.
Yeah.
Because like, he's kind of like, I don't know.
But
this is me, like, this is my like weird, what is that term in fandom when it's like a crack ship?
Oh.
A crack ship is like.
Like you're on crack and you're shipping
people? It basically means like two people who would never be together, but it's like something that like you think is like.
Like Jimmy and Ryan is
a
crack ship.
I bet I can find the Urban Dictionary for it.
Interesting.
But yeah, so like basically she's like, no, like go be with Marissa. Like she knows that he wants to be with Marissa.
But to that extent with the crack ship thing that you're talking about, I feel like
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
A crack ship is a ship that is highly ridiculous, bizarre, disturbing, and/or unlikely to ever become canon.
Mm.
The characters don't have any chemistry, never interact, or in different canons or timelines, or different species.
Ooh.
One is an inanimate object, etc. I don't think it's necessarily 100%.
Luke in his truck.
Oh, good stuff. I don't think it's 100% a crack ship, but it is like one that I don't think would ever really happen. But
likely.
They do have a little bit of chemistry.
Here's what I was going to say about that is that I feel like their chemistry is akin to Seth Ryan chemistry, mm-hmm. which is like sibling chemistry.
Yeah.
So maybe that is really nice, like quippy,
yeah.
like chemistry, but it's not sexual in nature or like romantic in nature.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
So she finds Seth wallowing in the hallway and she's like, what the fuck are you doing?
And he's like, wow, your sensitive is really non-existent. You're not sensitive.
Basically, yeah, she like whips him into shape and is like, hey, like, you know what girls like? They like confidence, Cohen.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite little lines. And she basically is like you need to be confident.
Yeah.
And that's going to attract her to you.
Mm-hmm.
So they go back into the dressing room, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And since Luke's left, Summer doesn't have a date at all. And she's like, congrats, I'm available again. And he says,
No,
we're going to go over here.
Yeah.
And he escorts Anna.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. And it's like kind of their first like little fun friendship time.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Marissa and Julie are like conversing about how she doesn't have anyone.
Yes.
And Ryan walks up all smooth and says, I hear there's a white knight available. And I was like, ah,
so
swoon.
Smooth.
And she's like, I'm going to go get ready.
You're so fucking smooth.
Julie's like, no, thank you. And Marissa's like, I'm going to go get dressed.
No, thank you.
And then
Julie's next
reaction is so, it's like solid and nonverbal. Her like hands and face, like she has like this little button on the end of the scene where clearly she had nothing else to do, but she's just like, I mean, this is not a visual podcast,
she's just a great, she tenses, her whole body like tenses
she's
up
like,
because
well, I guess this is what's happening.
She's from Riverside and you know, that's close to Chino and she knows the kind
she
of boys
that fuck around.
So debutante ball is beginning and it's really fucking weird. It's like, they like bring the daughters out and the dad like escorts them and then mm-hmm. they meet their escort like, and they walk down like a little aisle and then they all dance and it's weird.
On that note, I was trying to find Summer on the dance floor. Did she not get to make a debut because she didn't have a white knight? Because Luke went home and I was like, how annoying and gross is it that she can't make a debut because she does not have a man to receive
her? Because they didn't show her coming. They showed Holly.
Yeah.
And they show Anna, obviously.
I did not see her anywhere. I
and
scoured
Marissa.
That all of the shots and I couldn't find her.
Oh, that would be fucked up.
Right?
That would be fucked up. Poor Summer.
I mean,
I hate Summer at this point.
Gross.
But I do feel bad for her.
I do too.
That's fucked
Isn't
up.
Isn't that nuts?
That's nuts. So anyway, that happens.
Sorry.
they present their daughters and they're dancing basically
the
with their suitors or their escorts.
Mm-hmm.
And Holly's dad comes up to Jimmy and is like, "Hey, where's my check, man? Where's my money?"
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy's like, "I don't have it." And he's like, "Oh, you forgot it." "No. I don't have it. I don't have the money." Mm-hmm. What do you mean you don't have the money? Basically, Jimmy is just like, I got the money, man. I don't have the money.
This isn't like, I don't have your $5 that I owe you.
No,
this is $250,000.
Yeah, $250,000.
God. You don't fuck with anyone's money, let alone like rich people's money.
No, absolutely not. Mm. So Mr. Fisher just punches him.
Decks him.
He decks him. Ugh. And he just starts screaming, you're a thief. He's a thief.
Oh, so many times.
So Sandy gets in the rough and tumble of it all. Because,
so does Ryan.
So does Ryan, because Sandy's trying to help Jimmy or pull Holly's dad off of Jimmy.
They're getting involved.
And then he slugs Sandy and Ryan's like, fuck that. And like charges him just to get him away from the whole situation.
Yeah.
You're a thief. You're a thief.
He's a thief.
It kind of reminded me of my favorite movie, The Room. Where's my fucking money, Denny?
Nice.
Where's my fucking money, Jimmy? Anyway, so that happened.
That happened.
At the dead ball, and he's escorted out.
And little Sandy's eyes in his face.
The cops are there, obviously, because there was a little scuttle.
Yeah.
And Sandy's Dispute. Like, hey, Ryan, you should get out of here.
Yeah, as your attorney, I advise you to get out of here.
To get out of here. And Kirsten's kind of like, wow, like I've never seen you in a fight. Or I haven't seen you in a fight in a long time or whatever.
Yeah, I haven't seen you in a fight since ever.
Yeah.
Because
it's Sandy. They're so cute. And it was nice of him to stand up for her friend.
Yeah.
It's not his friend. It's her friend.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth is going to walk Anna home, but he asks Ryan.
You don't mind if I walk your
date
home, do you?
And he was like, you want to come with us? Like, you want to, which is kind of cute. And
finally, a Cohen who can throw down. However he says that, it's crazy.
It's really silly. Anna tells Seth that she's about to go on a sailing trip to Tahiti.
I just was like, God, Anna's awesome.
Anna's awesome, but I also was kind of like, at the writers, I was like, that's too much.
Like, could it not be a different island?
I know.
Could she not go sailing elsewhere?
Exactly, be Tahiti.
Also,
like,
didn't he say that it's going to take like 42 days or some shit? Like,
right.
And
when
how
the
much
does school start?
Right? Because I feel like it's in a few eps.
It's very soon.
Yeah.
But
I was like, how much longer is summer? Like,
again,
what is
we don't
this
really
timeline?
Know how time works on the time, OC. We have no idea.
It's wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey OC stuff. Mm-hmm. So Ryan goes outside and Marissa's just standing out there looking beautiful and looking at the ocean.
And I was
like,
oh, damn,
so
that
sad.
Necklace coupe, that like teardrop, like
diamond
thing.
She looks amazing. Her dress is beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's like this tube top, but it's got like this cool open back, three strap back. Mm-hmm. It's very like classically pretty. Mm-hmm. She's out there just thinking about things. And he goes out there and he offers, gives her his coat and he's like, do you want to talk about it? Like, he's being very sweet about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Smashing Pumpkins is playing in the background, which is great. And of course, like, while they're talking, they're, like, about to leave. And she turns around, and there's Luke, of course. And
apologetic
he's
looking Luke.
So fucking sheepish looking. He's like, I came as soon as I heard. Like, he's being so.
And looks the most like a monkey in that shot.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
And basically, she's just, like, caught between her two suitors.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I just need to be alone right now. And, like,
good
runs
choice.
Away. Which is a good choice. Yeah. And she's wearing flats, obviously, because she's 5'9", and, like, so is Ryan.
Yeah.
And she's, like, Cinderella's it up the stairs, basically.
Totally.
And that's the end of the episode.
That is the end of the episode. Fade to black.
A lot happened. This is a little bit longer of an episode than we usually do.
Oh, snaps.
Not too bad. But, like,
but
a
no,
lot happens
there's a lot
in this
going
episode.
On.
A
yeah.
lot goes on.
I even like
in Newport Beach.
Yeah. Ugh.
So.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts on this episode, the debut? This is one of my honestly like this is where shit really starts to pop off. I mean, like shit pops off like in the first 5 minutes of the first episode, but this episode is really where it, like starts to get kind of heated up.
Yeah,
because you know what I mean?
Ryan is like tangentially attached to the crime in the beginning, whereas like this is like some deep shit that Jimmy has been doing for a while,
right?
That's like he's legitimately responsible for
he's
whereas like Ryan is accidentally involved in like
Ryan is in the wrong place in the wrong time
many a times
many
and so
times.
This is like an active choice that a grown man has made and then the repercussions that are about to follow.
Exactly.
So
and I love that about when Sandy brings that up. He was this has been handed to him his entire life, and this is a choice that he has made.
Totally.
Yeah.
I thought this was what you're going to say, but one of the things I didn't mention was a Sandy quote when they're playing video games before they end up at Cotillion. And he says, they've all got secrets and they're all terrified the guy next door is going to find them out. And I was like, ugh. And then Ryan says, what's your secret? And he says, blah, 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 when yada, yada, yada isn't happening and blah, blah, blah. I kind of like this place.
I kind of like this place.
And I was like, oh,
yeah.
You cutie. So that was like, you know, seeding the secrets, the secret lives.
The secret lives.
Coming
secret
back.
Lives.
Everyone's got those secret lives. Yeah, there are other cute lines, but I mean, I think we got the gist.
Yeah, that's...
It's, everyone's cute. Everyone's beautiful. Sometimes people make questionable fashion
everyone
choices.
Everyone is cute and everyone is beautiful. And this is Newport Beach.
Everyone's so hot.
Everyone's so hot.
Yeah.
I love this episode. I think it's great. Yeah. I still don't really know how to end these.
I never know. Okay, well, you asked about the favorite moments once in a while.
Yeah.
Or I say once in a while.
Yeah.
For the pilot. Something that I didn't bring up that I want to keep an eye / ear mm-hmm. on, and I think you should too.
Mm-hmm.
Anna also has a highly weird accent dialect thing happening.
She sure does.
But I did some research.
Okay.
She was born in Tokyo, Japan. And then she
Samara Armstrong was?
Yeah.
Oh.
Then lived in Hawaii and Arizona, and she's Scottish and Italian.
Like, is she like an army brat?
Yeah. There's a quote that says, "My family is heavily involved in the Marines and close combat training.
That'll do
and
it.
I was raised doing Japanese sword training. So I've always been of the mentality that you have to be able to defend yourself." So she's just fierce as fuck in real life, I guess.
The fuck?
Yeah. So
maybe like a fun fact corner, because that's wild.
Yeah, fun
I
fact
didn't
corner.
Know that.
Cool. Fun fact corner. Some research. Cotillion average age is 16 to 18. 15 would be a junior deb. So in theory, everyone is 16.
Yeah.
That's
again, we are still
unsure about ages.
Well, she does say, "Mom, I'm 16," which is why I still think that they are juniors.
I don't think so. I think
we're
going to
get there. We're going to get there.
I think they're sophomores.
100% positive. I'm 100% positive. That's Samara Armstrong stuff. That is truly
that
wild. That is truly wild.
So, yeah. So I think
I
we'll have to listen
better.
To. She does like a lot of, I'm doing physical things in this podcast. But
she's like, Miranda's like pursing her lips right now a little
it's,
bit.
It's like she's pursing and there's like not spit involved.
No, I know what you mean.
Like a,
she's got an interesting accent. I feel like sometimes I have an interesting accent because I grew up in Southern Nevada.
You do.
Which is like next to Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about this before on the podcast. Vegas is knockoff Southern California because a lot of Californians moved over in the 90s.
Yeah.
So I have a little bit of a Valley Girl accent, but then I lived in Nashville for 10 years.
Yep.
So I have a little bit of a Southern accent too. Like a little bit of like I don't know. And now I live here. Chicago is such a melting pot that, like, there is a Chicago accent, but you have to be from here to
for
have
sure.
that accent. Like, for I have no friends with a Chicago accent because all of my friends are, like, transplants. Well, besides you, I guess. But you're not really from Chicago City proper.
Not proper.
Right.
Not proper. Suburbs.
The suburbs. Suburbia. Which is, you can obviously still have a Chicago accent. But I don't know anybody who's like, "I'm Chicago." Like, I don't
know.
No.
People
like
would be very upset if I claimed to be from Chicago.
Yes, that is very true.
I am not.
So, yeah. So I kind of get that sort of having a, moving around a lot and having that kind of accent. But Misha's is just wild.
Misha's is wild. Anna's is a little nuts, but we'll hear more of that
we'll more
in
of
future
that as we go on.
I think just to end, I'm just going to say, Mom, don't say underpants. That is a quote.
And we'll OC you next week.
Hey.